Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we are studying the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Here's Pastor Ryan.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good to be with you guys. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be beginning in verse 7. The Mexico trips have always been such a blessing in my life. I've been going down there really about ever since I've been saved for 24 years, and just going down there, it blesses my heart to, you know, see the beauty of the Lord in even in poverty, folks that are poor, really poor, with smiles on their face, they love God, and even though they have hardships, they have such a joy about them, and it reminds me that, you know, it's not about what we possess, but who possesses us, right? And so, and then the time down there is special because we're with each other. We get to know each other and sort of break the ice and fellowship. And, you know, I mean, it's Airbnb houses on the beach. We're staying. We're not serving. We're hanging out, fellowshipping, and just enjoying each other's company. And the food's not bad, you know. Best tacos I've ever had, you know, and but we're going to be able to do a lot of good for the poor people there. So pray for the team that's going down. Ben told me there's about 26 people already signed up, so get on board. It's going to be a good time. And then I'm really blessed about the college and career group. Guys, that's a miracle. That, I mean, you know, because we have enough where we can, young adults where we can now have that group. And so it's special to my heart because when I first got saved, my spiritual mom invited me to a college and career event at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And I went there and liked the group so much, I started attending their study every Tuesday night. And, you know, 3.5 years later, she walked into my life. And that's where I met my wife. So it's like, I'm very blessed to do that at our church, and I know God will use it wonderfully. And so anyways, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Father, we thank you this morning again for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, Lord. You are worthy of it all. We give you just the praise this morning that you deserve. Lord, have your way with us. You are our God. You are our Father. You're the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, of the Apostle Peter, James, and John, and Paul, whom we're reading this morning. Lord, our hearts are yours. Speak to our hearts. Meet us, Lord. You know our needs this morning. I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. We love you, Lord. Pour forth your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. All right, so the Apostle Paul is combating the false teachers that have crept into the church at Corinth. These guys have come in and tried to discredit the Apostle Paul in order for them to, you know, take the church for themselves or deceive, you know, God's people. And so the Apostle Paul is combating them and speaking up on his behalf, but it's really on the Lord's behalf, because if you can discredit the Apostle Paul, then anything can happen to the church. And so he's defending the church. And these guys, these false teachers, they were cunning. They were full of pride, and they were using the word of God for deceitful plans and just using the things of God for their own personal benefits. And the Apostle Paul said to them
But we have renounced the hidden things of shame. We have manifested the truth and have commended ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And so the Apostle Paul says to the church, we're not peddling the word. We're not being deceitful. We're being honest. We're being sincere. In fact, he said, we're renouncing the hidden things of shame. We're not trying to rip anybody off. We're being honest and we're being sincere. Unlike these false teachers, Paul is saying we're being honest. And as he ministered the gospel, he ministered with the heart and a sense to make sure that the people that he was preaching to understood that he cared about their conscience, that he cared about what they thought of him as far as a sincere and honest apostle of Jesus Christ, because there were too many deceitful teachers out there peddling the word of God. Not much has changed, as you know. There are many churches today and many ministers today who aren't doing the right thing, who aren't living in sincerity, but are using the word of God deceitfully in order to line their pockets and really rip off the people. The Apostle Paul is saying, that's not us. We're sincere. We care about your conscience. And I think that should be the heart of every one of us in this room, that we live a sincere life before God so that when others see us, they see the truth of God manifested in us by a sincere lifestyle. We should care about other people's consciences, right? We don't live for ourselves anymore. We want to live such a life of integrity that people can receive our witness of the Lord. In our jobs, in a personal sense, we should be punctual. We should be hard workers. We shouldn't complain. If there's a complaint, we can pray and go to another job. But we should be known as those who manifest the truth of God, who aren't ripping people off, who aren't living, lives that are not filled with integrity. And so he says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame. We have manifested the truth and have commended ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And then he said, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled by those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. He says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whom the God of this world, speaking of Satan, has blinded their eyes. Now, why would he say that out of nowhere early in this chapter? He's saying this because, no doubt these false teachers were saying, if he's such a sincere and true apostle, why do so many people reject the message? And that's the reality of Christianity. There are many false teachers and false churches that are out there today who on this day have completely packed churches. But yet what's coming out of the pulpit isn't sincere. It isn't the truth of this book. They're not preaching the truth of what Jesus said as he preached, repent for the kingdom of God is near. They only speak of all the grace and all the mercies and all of the love without ever mentioning the fact that God calls us to repent and to change. There's no talking of sin. There's no talking of the blood. There's no talking of the cross. It's all about what God can do for you. And there are churches completely and utterly packed this morning in America and around the world. But the people are not being discipled. They're just being given fluffy, flowery messages. And so they believe, look at our ministry, look at our churches, look at how successful they are. Well, the false teachers were able to pack crowds when we know that our Lord, yes, there were multitudes that followed him, but so oftentimes when he got down to the nitty gritty of the truth of the kingdom of God, people left him. Remember, many people came when he gave them bread and he said, you come to me because of the bread that you ate. But we must seek the things of the kingdom of God, which cries out to every man, woman, and child to give their life to Jesus Christ, to repent and bear fruits of repentance. That's the message. And then our lives are blessed if we do that. And so that's the message. But so Paul is saying, even if there's people that the gospel message is, it's veiled, they're blinded. It's only because they're perishing. They still love their life. They don't want to surrender their life to Jesus. They still want to do their own thing. And the God of this world has blinded them. He's got influence over this world that has been given to him by our Lord, by our God. That, you know, we all were under that influence at one time, but by the grace of God, the light of his gospel touched our hearts. And then now we can see we believe. But Paul is basically saying, don't be surprised if people don't come to the faith. If they hear even from the glorious words of the apostle Paul, still so many people rejected. And you think about it, when our Lord, how many people left him, and he looked to the disciples and said to them, are you going to leave me too? And they said, where else can we go? You have the very words of life. And so this world is blinded by the devil. Don't be surprised if they don't come. I've been to big, healthy churches like Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa and Calvary Chapel Golden Springs. I've seen droves and droves of people and filled church with people actually being discipled, where you're preaching the whole counsel of God, because in the volume of the book, it is written of him, the whole counsel, both sides of that sword, the judgment side and the law side and also the grace side. We need them both in order to be exhorted to live holy lives before the Lord and blessed lives. And so I've seen successful big churches, but there are so many that are just looks like a bunch of action, but there's no depth, there's no root. And so he says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. And so also he said, for we do not preach ourselves. And for him to say that is to say, well, that's what the false teachers were doing. They were preaching themselves. It wasn't about the word of God. It wasn't about elevating the name of Jesus above all names. It was about elevating themselves. They must have looked amazing and sharp and beautiful and great orators and great speakers, man, and can really win over a crowd. But they themselves were the substance. It wasn't Christ. And so the apostle Paul says, we preach Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the only name given unto heaven by which man can be saved. No one has ever been saved by the name of Paul or Ryan or your name. It's not us that saves anybody. It is the name of Jesus Christ. And so he says, we preach not ourselves, right? As if we can do anything to help people. The only thing we can do is say, go and give your life to Jesus. He's the one that we preach. And then he goes on to say, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For it is God who commanded, he said, light to shine out of darkness. It's a reference of when God created the world. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. Now, my goodness, this speaks of God putting physical light into the world when he created it. And I like the description of it. The earth was without form. It was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. That sounds like our life before Jesus. We were void. We were without form. We were living in darkness. That was our old life, right? But then as God commanded light upon this earth, it says he has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have his word. We have his light now. Things are different now because of Jesus. In the beginning, Adam and Eve, they lived an amazing life before the fall. An amazing life. Adam had a life that God had intended his creatures to have. God created them. He created them to be a partaker of his perfection and his blessedness. Through the creation all around Adam and Eve, they would be able to recognize God's love, God's grace, God's kindness in everything they touched, in everything that they saw. The garden was beautiful. The world was beautiful. Moment by moment, they had communication with the Lord. They depended on him for everything. Their joy, their virtue, everything about their life, no matter what they did, was intertwined with their relationship with God. He was everything to them, and they were everything to him, until, of course, the serpent came and deceived Eve. When Eve was deceived by the devil, the sin of pride entered the world, and no longer would mankind live in dependency of God, but would try to live independent of him. And that's what changed at the fall. No longer were they dependent on God for everything, moment by moment. They became independent of God. Why? Because Satan lied to them and said they can be as God. You don't need God, you be your own God. And so this disease of self-will, this disease of self-dependency, we can depend on ourselves. We are the world. We are the children. That whole philosophy, we're going to make this place heaven. No, 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 no. It's a lie. It's only through God that we can have eternal life, abundant life, a good life. It's a relationship with him. And that's what Jesus came when he came into the world. He brought the light of the gospel, which can pull us out of darkness in which we were all in. Darkness describes the old life, the sin, the lust of the flesh, the independent life aside from God. That was all darkness. Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's what he said. I am the light, Jesus said. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In Colossians 1:13, it says to us, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Darkness. We did our own thing. We were independent of God. And then, as we're born again, we now proclaim, we're now different, we're now dependent on God the way Adam was before the fall. Moment by moment, our virtue, our peace, our blessings, it's all found in our relationship with the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 9, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You might read that and say, you once did your own thing, but now you walk in the light of the Lord. You once did your own thing. For you once were in darkness, but now you're in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find it out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's who we are now. We once were in darkness. We once did our own thing. But now we live for him who saved us. He's worthy of it all, as we sang. He is worthy of it all. He took you and I from the pit of hell. And to be a Christian is to do what Jesus says. He's not foolish. God knows what it means to love him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. Are you still dependent on him moment by moment? I mean moment by moment. Every second of the day, everything that you do, everything that you touch, do you see it as I'm doing this with and for God? If so, it's a complete life of surrender and dependence on God. There's no arguing with him if we live that way. There's no arguing. I don't argue with God about going to church. There's no argument there. I'm a bondservant. He says to do it, I do it. There's no argument for me to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve him because he says to serve him. You read the parables. When he comes back, he says, man, you know that he desires that when the master comes back, he sees his servants doing what they were asked to do. I don't argue with God about my life. My life isn't mine, it's his. If you're still arguing with the Lord, maybe you're still independent. I'm an independent man. I'm an independent woman. I'm not. I'm a dependent man. I do what my king tells me to do, and I love to do it. And when I do what he says to do, I'm blown away with the blessings because he's a God who gives us good things. Their virtue, their joy, their peace was in their relationship with God before the fall. Jesus has restored that. But there's Christians who aren't that joyful, aren't that at peace, aren't that enjoying this whole thing. Why not? You got to do what he says in order to experience the blessings that he wants to give. We can limit God by our, by our independence. And there are many Christians. I love God all day long. Make sure you thank him for that Happy Meal. Don't you dare eat that breakfast without thanking him. I love God. But God, you can only work in this space where I'm comfortable. I do nothing outside of this. I guarantee you there are Christians who think that way. Guarantee. They're independent still. I don't go to Mexico. Yeah, neither do I. You know what I'm saying? There is no, I do this, I do. There's nothing. That wasn't the deal when I gave my life to Jesus. I'd do anything for him because he saved me from the pit of hell. I'll do anything for him. What won't you do for him? He is the light of the world. Follow him. Darkness means you're still doing your own thing. And that's what Satan wants. In verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. What a beautiful statement. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Treasure, speaking of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, it's a treasure. It's the most powerful thing ever is the word of God. And Jesus is the word made flesh. He is the word. He is the light. And his message is the greatest treasure ever. And the apostle Paul says, man, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. The word for earthen is ostrakinos in Greek, ostrakinos, which means clay. So he's saying that we have the most amazing treasure, the treasure that saves people, the treasure that, I mean, Jesus said, you are clean because of the word that I have spoken. His words are life. And it's the greatest treasure, and it's in clay vessels. Speaking of his own body, his own life, Paul. You think about clay pots. They're fragile. One of my wife's favorite things to do, not necessarily mine, but hers, when we go to Mexico, we go to Puerto Nuevo, and I go there, of course, for the lobster, beans, rice, and handmade flour tortillas. But she goes into the little shops there where there's, beautiful artesian Mexican clay pot vessels of every kind. And she has to tell the kids, don't touch, because if you break it, we got to buy it. They're fragile. That's what the Apostle Paul considers himself and the men that preach the gospel. We're fragile, man. We're weak. So oftentimes, as a church, we look at the Apostle Paul and think, man, he must have been in, he was just Superman. Like this, like he's something not human. But the Apostle Paul, time and time again, shares that he is totally human and totally weak and totally fragile. As Brother Ben had shared the scripture, I came to you not in strength, but in weakness, in tears, and in trembling. He's human. And he wants us to know, because these fake preachers are all about the exterior. How one looks on the outside. You look very pastoral. You don't. As like the world sizes people up, we can fall into that trap when God looks at the heart. Paul says, man, I'm weak. I'm a clay vessel.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.